Hey, everybody, Drew Remenda here. You're listening to another podcast from Teal Town, USA. Cannot miss out my guys, AJ and Eric.
Good evening. It is Tuesday night, November 27th, 2018, and the San Jose Sharks make a comeback, but that comeback falls short, 3-2 over the Buffalo Sabres. This is Teal Town After Dark, your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. And by all means, do us a favor. Hello, everyone. If you want to be a part of the show, there's multiple ways to interact with us. Join us in the chat with fellow Sharks fans on the YouTube Super Chat, on the page, or the app. Of course, you can always hit us on the Twitter machine at hashtag TealTownUSA. But of course, always follow us on our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and the YouTube. With me tonight is Mr. AJ Strong.
What's up?
Not the Sharks. they lose a tough one, 3-2 in overtime. Let's get things started right off the bat. First period, no scoring. Evan Rodriguez wanted to take a trip to the penalty box early in the second. Pretty much nothing going on in the first period overall, the exception of Sharks out shooting Buffalo 13-7. Give it up for former Sharks property, Carter Hutton, doing a fantastic job keeping the Sharks off the board in the first frame.
Oh, good for you. That's what I'm saying, Carter. This one's for you, buddy.
Oh, good for you.
You get that. That one's for you. yeah. I mean, in my notes, like, you know, Rodriguez trips LeBanc minute 23 into the second after the first was, I mean, for the most part, a snooze fest. The Sharks didn't get much going. Neither team really got much going, although I felt like Buffalo definitely had possession far more than the Sharks. In the circle, though, the Sharks, after one, 63% in the dot. Shots on goal, 13 for the Sharks, Buffalo, 7. So you have to think Buffalo coming in on a 9-game win streak. Darlene's had 8 points in his last 8 games. You figure, okay, you've weathered the storm. You've traveled 3 time zones. You've gotten through the first period unscathed on a team that is red hot. So you feel good about that. Start off that second, like I said, Rodriguez twips LeBanc, and the Sharks would get a donut. Absolutely 0 shots on goal.
Nada.
Yeah.
Nada on the power play there. That doesn't come into great fruition. And then second period, as we get going here, Rasmus Ristolainen going around Bernsey. He poops it. He pops it. Wow. He pops it over the shoulder of Jones. His third on the year with a nice celly from Thompson and Okposo at 14:42 to make it 1-0 Buffalo. That's how it would end after 2 periods. AJ, what did you think of the goal?
It was sick. Prior to, but you know, 4 minutes prior to that, Dylan would trip Pominville. And Buffalo got a ton of scoring chances during that power play. Jones bailing the boys out. But yeah, Ristolainen completely juked, pylon Burns. It was almost reminiscent of Hurdle against Fowler on opening night versus Anaheim. It was a bit of a juke, but I will say Burns on both of the Buffalo goals tonight. Boy, if you go starfish defensive posture, or I don't know, if you move your freaking feet, there's a lot of puck watching tonight by this blue line.
Yeah, and not just with Burns, who's the usual suspect of the starfish defensive posture, but I mean, just overall, it just seemed like the guys didn't have their feet tonight.
Again, 3 time zone travel. Now, granted, had an extra day of rest, so to speak. I mean, they did stay overnight in Vegas rather than taking the red eye and flew out early Sunday. But still, after the shellacking that you took in Vegas, and the fact that Buffalo is coming in with a 9-game win streak, I felt like it would have been nicer to see a bit more oomph from the Sharks, if you will.
I completely agree. I thought, you know, after, you know, we're still waiting for what Brett Hedekin said after the first intermission of the game against Vegas. We were waiting for our Sharks to give a response. You know, they had gone, I think it was what I had written about it. I think it was about 122 minutes and 44 seconds without scoring a goal. They had gone nearly 184 minutes without scoring a goal on the road. But that's kind of getting ahead of ourselves. Rasmus Dahlin in the third period takes a tripping penalty against Jonas Donskoy at 135. Well, that power play was like...
Well, and let's also talk about some numbers after two periods. The Sharks fall from 63 down to 56% in the faceoff circle. The shots on goal this time, 9 for Buffalo, 8 for San Jose. So things evened out a scotch, if you will. But yes, Donskoy gets tripped by Dahlin. I mean, an EK with a couple, EK 65 with a couple giveaway. I'm going to start calling, you know what Erik Karlsson's nickname for me is going to be pretty damn soon? It's going to be Chili Pepper, because he seems to like to give it away, give it away, give it away now.
But I'm
just saying.
There we go. AJ Strong at the San Jose Improv this weekend.
Yeah, what he said!
Yeah, he's been having issues with turnovers just as much as Vlasic's been having issues holding the zone. They didn't seem like they were getting things going. And then I think it really started when, you know, Johan Larsson and Joe Thornton kind of get into things. Jumbo goes off for cross-checking. Larsson goes off for slashing. And but then...
No, three minutes, 3:14. What's his name? Bollier? But what? Bollionaise? What's this guy's cat? What's this cat's name?
Bollier.
Bollier. All right, from Reinhardt and Nelson. Again, Burns misses his assignment. Couture tries to cover and fails. And two goals potted for Buffalo in a very San Jose Shark style, in that they both came about 5 feet out of the paint or less.
And nobody watched the back door. Like you said, Couture was open to and trying to get caught up, but he just couldn't hit it back there. And I don't even blame that one on Jones at all.
No, that's missed assignments, bad coverage. And prior to Thornton and Larsson going off 4-on-4, which I did think was, I thought that was cheap. You know, Thornton, they call Thornton for cross check. That was a good hit. I don't know what the hell they're whining about, but Larsson takes, you know, a two-handed whack at Thornton. Thornton had every right to be pissed off at that point, but that should have been a penalty only on Larsson, but whatever. And then, of course, prior to that, Dylan almost got caught yet again versus Pominville, but then after review, they said, no, it was follow-through. He didn't stick it, but still, Pominville did go down the ramp for repairs, but came back relatively quickly, but... Yeah, I go back to Thornton Larsson and I go, come on, really? Like, it's a solid hit. Larson's going to get all butt hurt, and then you're going to give them both 4. Okay, fine. And this was a bizarrely officiated game in that the whistles were either swallowed or they were some of the quickest whistles I've ever heard.
Especially on when goaltenders cover the puck. Yep. It's like, you know, Hutton had the puck for like a moment, and then it came loose. And then also we saw later in the game, Jones held on to the puck and then conveniently went around to throw the puck to one of his teammates. I was surprised that wasn't whistled down, or for that matter, even call it a delay of game for that matter.
Yeah. I think Rocket is wondering if Drake played in Buffalo last night. But yeah, a lot of unforced errors from Burns and Karlsson. Just what? Why? What are you guys doing?
And what is it? What is it with this defense? Because it definitely is lingering onward and onward.
Well, the defense, and you know that, okay, you know, I don't have it with me. I put the drum away. The Sharks did score on the power play tonight. I will give them that. But coming into this one, 4-14 for, I believe that's about 28%. But if you take out that ridiculous game against Vancouver, where they were given so many opportunities against one of the worst teams, you know, a team that coming into that game, I believe, is on an 8-game losing streak. You throw those out of the equation, and it's, I believe, one goal for their last 11. So all of a sudden that percentage drops significantly. But tonight, I mean, 33%, they did get the one.
Yep.
I will give them that. Absolutely.
Yep. The first one from Pavelski, that was 4-on-4 afterwards. I thought that whole 4-on-4 kind of got them riled up from Burns and Meyer. Makes it 2-1 at 11:29. And then they get the power play.
Yeah, but that Pavelski goal, wow, what a sweet goal. That was that was like a pinpoint laser accuracy roof job from Pavelski. It's almost as if he's playing for a contract, ladies and gentlemen.
Top shelf for Mama Hides the Cookies is what Rick Jenneret would say on that one.
I believe Hedekin also said it as well tonight.
Nice. Yes. Right?
But, you know, a mere 4 minutes later, Rodriguez gets into it again, hooks Donskoy. Sharks go on a power play, and this is when the Sharks would score on the power play with a beautiful wrap from Pavelski. If Hutton just gets his skate over there, I have, you know, a little bit second sooner, maybe that doesn't go in, but from Couture and LeBanc, and 16:42 of the third, and everybody's going, so you're telling me there's a chance?
Oh, yes. And the Sharks would have a chance late in this game.
Oh,
Horton, Evander Kane, gets the puck right to Kane. Oh, he had him, and he just shoots it wide.
Oh,
shades of Tamu.
Would have been so, so storybook for Evander Kane to score in that situation. You know,
right?
First time back in your old barn. I mean, come on.
And he had a lot of questions asked of him pregame wise, and I was very interested in that. But yeah, fortunately, Kane just misses that one. This game goes into overtime. To be honest, did the Sharks really have a chance in overtime? I don't think so. I think it was all more so.
Jones certainly gave them ample opportunity in the first minute or so.
Oh yeah, I thought Jones was standing up to the task and just making save after save or giving him a chance.
Yeah. But I mean, two huge giveaways. Jones saves their bacon, but then Jones atones for that stellar play,
right,
by overplaying when Thornton goes for the rub out on the board. Kane gets caught, and then EK65 looked like he got caught looking. Guy gets behind him, boom, game over. And yeah, Chris, I see you in the chat. Dude, I was using the analogy to make a point, so save it. But that's game 25, and I think we need to just call out the elephant in the room. Is it time to start looking for a new coach? You're talking about a San Jose team that PDB's first season here at this point, 28 points. The year after that, 29 points. The year after that, 30 points. Right now, at this point, 26 points. You've got Vegas and Calgary breathing down your neck. Two of the teams in your division have already swapped coaches. And you have to think that at some point, you know, and I know what, hey, we talked to Kevin Kurz a couple days ago for the Pucknologist, and he said that PDB replacement talk is premature, and I believe he actually said he thought a little silly at this point. But if you don't pay attention to history, it will repeat itself. Again, we talked on the Pucknologist. PDB, hired by the New Jersey Devils, took him to the Stanley Cup Final his first season. His next two seasons, nothing remarkable, nothing of note. 34 games into his fourth season, he's unceremoniously shown the door. What does he do in San Jose? Well, the first season, he takes the team to the Stanley Cup Final. The next two seasons, doesn't do anything remarkable. We know, got dropped by Edmonton in the first round in six games, got dropped in the second round by Vegas in six games. And now we're here. And Chris saying, with the Devils, the talent level went down each following year. You've just made my point for me.
Yep.
Is this not the most talented team on paper that the Sharks have ever had? How are you, have you gone down points wise? So, you know, maybe that's, it's even if it, if some people think it's premature, you can at least understand people having the debate, at least talking about it.
You know? Yeah. There's gotta be, there's gotta be some rumblings.
Oh, geez. Rocket. Really? How are you not on right now if you're going to throw out that type of comedy? I mean, dear Lord.
Yeah,
Rocket, God, I love you so much, Rocket. You have no idea. you get me.
Going over some of the stuff. Lance Fletcher, Jumbo should not be in the ice in OT. So if the boys... If the boys had no coaching, would they be better off right now? Like, if they're having secret practices and ignoring coaches' suggestions, playing, knowing how to play, but together. I don't know that, because, you know, ultimately
is broken.
Yeah, I don't know. Jerry F, I agree with AJ. I will be in fifth by mid-December at this rate with PDB. Burge 7F91, they seem lack jam to start the game. One thing we should mention, I think Buffalo is now 12-0-2 when they get the first goal of this game, which is something unbelievable. And for that matter, Buffalo with their 10th straight win, Skinner with his 18th goal, which it ends up in 18 games, with that ended up being the game-winning goal. It's just crazy to see.
Right now. Rocket, this team needs a life coach. You couldn't have hit it on the head any harder.
Well, let's talk about this, AJ. What, and we mentioned it a little bit a couple nights ago, the psyche of this team. I mean, you've given up a lot of, you know, come from ahead losses, and they've blown leads. They've had to fight back. I mean, give them credit for coming back tonight. I mean, they could have been down.
I will give all the credit in the world to Joe Pavelski for that. Yeah. I'm not buying the life coach psychiatric care thing, because these are words that have been bandied about since the Ron Wilson era. You know, that was the one thing you heard. I will say, I remember a lot of times watching Daryl Sutter teams, and they would get beat 4-0, 5-1, and the game would be over fairly quickly. But you saw those Daryl Sutter coach teams play heavy, that the, even though they were getting beat on the board, that and in fact, you want to, okay, Chris, freaking, you know, statistician extraordinaire, how many times did a team come in to the Shark Tank when Sutter was the coach, and how many times did that team that the Sharks were the first of back-to-backs, how many times did that team lose the second of those two games? There's your homework. A full moon is not involved whatsoever, but there's your homework, Chris. Look that up for Daryl Sutter coach teams, because I'm telling you, teams that came in when Sutter was the coach here, Sutter did not have the talent that Ron Wilson, Todd McClellan, clearly PDB has had, but Daryl Sutter still made an impact with this team. And I don't know how many times you saw Sharks teams under Daryl Sutter say, you know what, we're going to lose this game, but these guys are going to feel it. You know, they're going to feel every ounce of this win on the plane ride and during the next game. And Ron Wilson, Mr. Honta Yo, given a little more finesse players in the way, you know, a little less Scott Parker, a little more Timu Solani, Alexander Korolyuk, but clearly some more talent. But during the Ron Wilson era, I very clearly remember especially towards the last couple of years, wanting to go get a roll of Charmin from Costco and some and a squirt bottle and just TP the front of SAP, like, where's your heart? So this is nothing new for the Sharks. And I would have, you know, if you see the hustle, I'm okay with just going, God, you know, like when you looked at Pittsburgh in 2016 in the playoffs, it's just a faster team. The Sharks, you saw the effort. The effort was there. Penguins were just faster, more talented. When I see that, I go, oh, man, that sucks. But tonight versus Vegas, when you know on paper, you're the better team.
Buffalo.
I'm sorry. What did I say?
Vegas.
That's what I meant. Vegas and then tonight, Buffalo.
Gotcha.
When you see that, when you see on paper that you're the better team, it just comes down to, you know, and I can't remember who said it or where it came from, and I know it was over a decade ago, but it was the whole idea of hard work beats skill when skill doesn't work hard.
Or you can even go Herb Brooks and say you don't have enough talent to win on talent alone.
Hey, now there's another one. Bring hockey back. We would like 20% commission on these shirts you're about to print up.
It's one of those things, that's where I think it gets more frustrated with Sharks fans in regards to why this team is frustrating fans as much as they are, because we've seen these mistakes and issues happen time after time after time again, whether it's coaches, whether it's rehauling the team. I mean, what can it be? Because it's just getting ridiculous now with what's going on.
Laurel, you know me better than that. What the hell does this look like? What kind of wine are you drinking is what I'm saying. Does that look like a wine glass to you?
No.
Hey, for the 40 some odd plus of you watching right now, we do this after every single Sharks game. This is called After Dark. Welcome in. Do us a favor, subscribe, hit the notification bell. It will tell you every time we're about to go live. This is not the only thing we do on YouTube, by the way. We also drop a fun show once a week called The Pucknologist, and every once in a while drop in some funny videos. Also on Instagram and Twitter at TealTownUSA. There you go. Go follow. And giving away a prize this week on the Pucknologist show. So go listen to the last episode, 55. Figure out how to win tickets. And Rob, you are completely wrong.
Oh, what did Rob say? Oh, as you take mid gulp. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Said I never drink wine. It's all right.
No, we don't drink wine. He drinks wine, eating cheese, all that fun stuff. Let's recap it all tonight. Shots on goal, 38-31 in favor of San Jose. Faceoffs, the Sharks did win that one, 55-45. San Jose with the only power play goal of the night, 1-for-3, while Buffalo would 0-for on their lone power play.
How you doing, Rob? How you doing? Saying I don't drink wine. How you doing?
The Sabres outhit them 19-11. Sharks blocked more, 7-5, but they gave up more, 11-7. Joe Pavelski having night. He was the third star of the game. He had two goals on the night. Meyer, Couture, and LeBanc were your assists scores, along with Burns. Martin Jones, let's talk about him really quick. Outside that gaff, I thought he had a decent night. 28-31 on the evening.
Decent bounce back night, you know, after Dell going back to back. Makes you wonder, will Jones go back to back? We know the team is off to Toronto. So will Jones get the start? I know that Brody and Curtis Brown were almost kind of fait accompli that Dell will get the start tomorrow. I don't know that he will, but let's see. Davalos asking if the wine vintage 408 is still available. As far as I know, go check your local Safeway in the Bay Area. Oh, that's right. You're not in the Bay Area. Well, then I don't know what to tell you. Call Claude LoSLChance. CLOSLA Chance. Go look them up. And there you go. And Chris saying Jones wasn't the problem. I would agree. I don't think he was. Like we said earlier, this team came out with no hustle, no speed. It's, again, early on, the guy who stood out for me was Marcus Sorensen, who continues to do so. But you'd be hard-pressed to fault Jones for either of those two goals. I mean, again, Burns got pylonned. He got pylonned on the first one through a missed assignments. Then on the second one, Couture tried to make up for Burns missing an assignment. That's both of those. I don't fault Jones for those. I don't know that Dell would have had those. But will PDB have the? Let's just see what PDB has up his sleeve. Will he go Jones again, or will he go back to Dell? It's going to be fun to watch.
And the twist about all of this is that this is the second set of back to backs. Like they had,
and there's another one at the end of the week.
Yeah, and you have Ottawa, 10 a.m. our time, 1 p.m. over on the East Coast, and then another game in Montreal that next day.
Breakfast with the Sharks.
Yep. Quick thing on the wine, DeFalos, you can get it at close.com, CLOS.com, and then just look for Vintage 408. It can be ordered online.
In the OT, Steve Cropper is blaming Jones. And you know what?
Yep.
I can somewhat understand that half and half. If you go back and look at that overtime, if it wasn't for that first minute, Buffalo would have scored much quicker. Jones was standing on his head early on because the Sharks didn't know what the hell they were doing. But it's hard for me. I can fault Jones because I do think he overplayed. When who's the guy who got the last goal?
Jeff Skinner.
Skinner, yeah, of course. Oh yeah, the same douchebag who won the Calder over Couture. But yeah, so when Skinner gets that, did Jones overplay that? Yes.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Preceding that, did Thornton play? did he go too much for the hit and not enough for like trying to get to the puck where it needed to be? Yes. Did Kane get caught out of position? Yes. And did EK65 blow his assignment and get caught looking? Yes. So it was one after the other. If Thornton, Kane, and EK65 play that the way they should have, it never gets to Jones. He never overplays that. So while I understand wanting to hang that on Jones, there's a lot of blame to be spread around for that OT winner.
Yeah. Rocket saying, where's Schlemko when you need him? Laurel, Laurel's asking, hosts, I asked, so if our boys had no coaching, would they be better off right now? Like if they were having secret practices and ignoring coaches' current suggestions.
Would anybody know the difference?
I don't know. I mean, and Chris saying, yes, Jones has been responsible for plenty of the season, but not tonight. Yeah, I completely agree with that. Totally.
That's why I just said that, damn it. Okay. Yeah. I'm kidding.
So,
oh, good for you.
There you go.
Gotcha. For you. Should we go? Where should we go next? Kudo or the,
well, you were there today, so let's head over there.
All right. That's right, folks. It was CUDA Classroom Day at the Tank as the San Jose Barracuda and the Stockton Heat played at 11 a.m., which was actually a pretty good fun time out there. Those kids, and they didn't fill the entire lower bowl, but they got going. I swear, all they needed to do was put Get Loud and that place went nuts. When there was a skirmish, I could hear shades of fight, 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 fight. it was fun. It was a cool crowd, actually, but it was loud, and trust me, it was really loud. Unfortunately for the Barracuda, it didn't start out too well. 46 seconds in, Alan Quinn gets a 6 from Prout and Kirby Reichel to make it 1-0 Stockton. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. There was a lengthy delay, and I was sitting next to another gentleman who has NHL affiliation, so I won't say who he was with or his name, but there we were both wondering what was going on. What happened was, while Stockton gets the goal, they also got a penalty for an illegal lineup. So,
what did they fill out their roster incorrectly or something? Somebody called them on it?
Yep, and Roy Sommer called on it. They got a power play early on. They didn't get anything on it.
Still, I mean, you can see that call get called like what, once a decade?
Yeah, or like what was it? Paul Martin was we had an illegal lineup, I think, like against Calgary a couple of years ago.
Yep. So I remember. Yeah, I remember. That was a good one. That was fun. Breaking news from Rocket Backhander, by the way. I didn't mean to interrupt, but Logan Couture, evidently his mustache has been named the coach for the next game for the Sharks. So, you know, way to finish out Movember. Anyway, you were saying.
Continuing on, that would be the only goal in the first period. Then Stockton got a second goal. Kirby Reichel, his 10th from Gaudin and Lazar. Lazar has been a beast for the Heat. That made it 2-0. But then 22 seconds later, Jonathan Martin gets his first goal of the season from the other guy in the Ottawa trade, Francis Perron. And that kid's been on fire. To make it 2-1 Stockton. And then at 5:44, Jacob Middleton ties things up from Gregor and Perron, 2-2. And then at 11:07, Nick DeSimone with a shot from the point beats, Jean Gillies. That would be your game winner. Keaton Middleton would add an empty netter. Barracuda win 4-2 over the Stockton Heat. A great crowd on hand, a loud crowd on hand for the San Jose Barracuda.
Now, I have to ask this. We've seen Lucas Radil in the lineup now for the last another game. He's not doing a lot out there. You look at what Perron is doing for the Barracuda. Did the Sharks call up the wrong damn player?
I would say so. He was flying out there, and the gentleman next to me was impressed by Perron and Cornash. Cornash had a spectacular day. I think the shots were like 33-18 or 33-19 in favor of Stockton.
See, it's funny you bring that up, and you know we stranger things have happened, my friends. And so my point is, wouldn't it be interesting if Dell, because Dell has put together, you throw out again, and now Chris is going to flambé me on the freaking chat. You throw out the St. Louis game, or I'm sorry, the Vegas game where he got lit up like a Roman candle. The St. Louis game wasn't as bad. At least he got retribution for it 8 days later, throwing his own shutout, and it kind of evens it out. But Dell, up until the Vegas game, was putting together very good numbers. And as we know, every NHL team is going to have a crap the bed game. That's just the way it is. Show me the team that's gone 82-0. So wouldn't it be interesting if a player like Cornash gave DW, Doug Wilson, the flexibility? Now, granted, they only have $1 million in cap space right now, people, for the Sharks. Wouldn't it be interesting if the Sharks figured out a way to move Dell and, I don't know, maybe Melker Carlson or something, to find somebody, an Eric Fair type player, to fill a slot on the fourth line? Because it seems as though they've figured out what the hell they want to do with the top three lines. That's, you know, Pavelski's the pivot on one, Couture's the pivot, Thornton's a pivot. We don't know what the hell we're going to do with the fourth line, despite Donskoi and Suomela having some chemistry. But we've seen, you know, Suomela's been scratched like, what, two of the last three games. So if you're not going to do that, you don't have any faith in Gambrell. There is Perron there. You can try that out. But I think maybe it's just interesting. And Chris saying, move Braun. I don't hate that idea, to be honest with you. It's Vlasic has like the worst 5-on-5 goal against ratio right now. This team sucks in the ratio 5-on-5 overall, worst in the league. But Vlasic and Braun have been incredibly pedestrian. Kevin Kurz pointed this out just a week ago or 3 days ago, whenever it was. This might be one of Vlasic's worst seasons by far. Maybe you say, hey, Braun, take Braun out of the equation, put Carlson. Now that it seems like the Sharks are starting to vibe with Erik Karlsson a little bit, maybe it's time you say, okay, we're going to put Carlson and Vlasic together because we're starting to see that work out. Maybe you stop putting Ryan with Burns. Maybe you move Braun up with Burns, or you put Dylan with Burns. But Ryan and Burns is clearly not working, and the reason why you can see that is the freaking numbers. Numbers don't lie, people. And Ryan keeps getting scratched. He keeps getting tonight again. Low men on the totem pole. 10 minutes. His partner played 23. Ryan is clearly an issue. So maybe that's something that you use. That if Cornosh makes Dell expendable, maybe you try to figure something out in that regards.
And not just Cornosh. You also have Antoine Biba, who was the goaltender of the month last month. I mean, both of them have been phenomenal for the Barracuda so far this season. It seems that they've been a strong wall for both of them as the two are still in first place.
I'm telling you, dude, right now I would take Jeremy Waugh with Brent Burns at this point. I've had it. I've had it with this defensive group. And it's just based on the numbers alone. It's like you put Heat in, he gets 13 minutes. Then you bring Ryan back, he barely cracks 10, and it's, you know, if this is, and it goes back to my other point, like a week ago when we were talking about Timmy Heed and Šimek, where it's kind of like, wait a minute. Okay, so you're telling me that these guys, they're too good to put on waivers so you can send them down, but they're not good enough for you to skate them. These two things conflict.
Is it a reaction because they lost Carpi around this time to Vegas?
Carpi has to do with it. He's a forward.
No, but what I'm saying is that DW's a little not trigger happy in regards to.
He's gun shy because he doesn't want to lose guys for nothing like he did with Carpenter and Marlowe
and Nieto.
Well.
You lost him.
I'll give you that one. I mean, oh, sure. I'm sorry. I don't have my little Long Beach sample with me. You know, you know what? Next time we invoke. Okay. I'm going to say that right now. The next time somebody invokes the name Matt Nieto, you're going to hear it. It's kind of hard being D-O with double G from the LBC or whatever. I'm going to have some sort of LBC reference. But anyway, I would love to see Cornosh just make, again, Dell, world's okayest goalie, but if Cornosh is coming through, because Bebo and Cornosh are killing it in the A right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. So, and that's the other part. Who would you call up? Would you want Bebo or would you want Cornosh? That's the tough one that you would say.
Yeah. So that's why I'm just kind of, if either of those guys start to, if they're having a really good string, if it makes Dell expendable, if that's a piece that you can move. Remember, he signed a 2-year deal for 1.9, something like that. So it's a very respectable deal. And you know that there are a couple teams out there, LA, that are having goaltender issues that you could look at, maybe finagle a deal. That's what I'm saying. But at least it gives Doug Wilson more flexibility. Now, I still go back to the whole idea of, well, this team as it stands on paper is pretty effing good. And for them to be where they're at right now in a shitty Pacific division, that says a lot to me. And to pile on that more, I'm sorry, I had to reach over. I know when Chris hates when I do that, but I'm looking here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, we've played 25 games, people. We've only played 6 in our division. So there's going to come a time when the boys need to take advantage of playing in this crap-ass division. Now, that will be the end of next month where you've got 5 straight. LA, Arizona, Anaheim, Edmonton, Calgary.
if the Sharks don't go 4-1 in that stretch and PDB is still the coach, there's a problem. If they go 1-4, I will go to the tank and fire PDB myself.
And with that,
I'm just
is it time?
I know I know I'm upset, but I mean, dear Lord.
Oh, yes, that's right, folks. It's time for the NHL round. You know, after all these years,
do it again.
That just sounds weird. Felix chat and breaking news, everyone. The Sharks have just hired AJ Strong as the assistant GM.
And why wouldn't they?
All right.
Somebody slid in.
Damn.
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
Uh-oh.
We were so close. Oh, jeez. We're having too much fun. All I'm going to say is, wasn't Pavelski's tying goal a wraparound? Okay, let's get to the action that's taken place already on this busy Tuesday night in the NHL. The Avalanche beat the Nashville Predators 3-2. Nathan MacKinnon with two goals in that one. Travis Jost with his fourth. Turns out to be the game-winning goal for Colorado, who are at 32 points and are just a little bit behind the Predators, who are at 35. In Minnesota, and this is for AJ, the Desert Dogs.
Excuse me.
Beat the Minnesota Wild 4-3. Lawson Crouse with his fourth. Archibald gets his first two goals of the season. Grabner his sixth.
Who were the goalies in that game?
Nobody.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking here. Same thing with the Preds in the Avalanche game. I'm going, wait,
Yeah, apparently there were no goalies used, which makes it even more fun.
It makes you wonder why the point totals weren't a little higher.
And everything just went crazy on the page here. So forgive me if I repeat any of them.
I'm sorry. Dubnyk. it looks like Dubnyk did get the start, but Stalock, no. You know what? I'm looking at this now. I can't. The NHL website just like went off the deep end. So I don't know who played in this game, but whatever.
Well,
again, NHL.com being you as you yes. only can.
A way to not keep doing whatever it is you're doing. In Philly, the Ottawa Senators beat the Flyers 4-3. It's their first game without GM Ron Hextall. The Senators win on a sweet goal. And go ahead and take a look on this online later. Matt Duchene with the game winner, his 11th, and it was a sweet one. Brady Tkachuk with two goals. He's now up to 9 on the season. McKenna with the win. Stolarz with the loss.
Good for you!
In Montreal, Curtis McIlhenny. Well, can we say McIlhenny this bitch then for the Carolina Hurricanes?
Nope.
2-1. 2-1, the final as Carolina beats the Canadiens. Deneau, the only goal for Montreal. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, his second of the season, gets the game winner. Carey Price takes a loss in that one.
Okay. One of my biggest beefs is I feel like we take too long with the wraparound. So watch this. And then in Tampa Bay, we have Ryan Miller taking the win, Dominic taking the loss, while Anaheim, Manson, Richie, and Rowdy score for Anaheim. Point scores for the Lightning, yet it is not enough as the Ducks win 3-1 over Tampa Bay.
In Winnipeg, the Penguins beat the Jets 4-3. Scheifele has two goals, Crosby with his 10th. Aston Reese with the game-winning goal in that one.
And Matt Scheifele in that game would drop a deuce.
In Chicago, the Golden Knights whipped up on the Blackhawks 8-3. Folks, the Knights are back. with their officiating and everything, but I digress.
This was a game when we would leave it to Theodore.
Cody Eakin with 2 goals, Shea Theodore with 2 goals, William Carlson with his 7th. And the Knights now are tightening things up as we look at the, should we look at the standings now? I think it's,
hold on. The Knights are tightening things up. Everything is loose in Las Vegas. What are you talking about?
Ba-dum-bum.
Even the slots.
Ba-dum-bum. In the Pacific, Calgary retakes the lead based on games played. 29 points. San Jose is at 29. Anaheim is at 27. However, the Knights are at 25. I think that's wrong. Yeah, that should be 27. Way to go, NHL.
Dude, NHL.com, like, crapping all over the bed tonight. Can you like switch from division to conference? Or switch from conference to division? I'm sorry.
Let's do that. See if that
helps. Let's go division.
All right. In division. There we go. All right. So Vegas Leapfrogs Anaheim, both they're tied at 27 points because of Rose.
And look at Anaheim. Just like all those man games lost. Corey Perry's still out, and yet these guys... That, you know, what is it? What's that scene in Rounders? It's like, hanging around. Can't get rid of him. Can't get rid of Anaheim. Hanging around.
And they're just hanging around and wait till they are fully healthy. And that scares me at the rate that this division is going. That scares me a little bit too.
I'm gonna give Gibson the Vezina now.
As you should.
That's all I'm saying.
Even though they've allowed 75 goals, but they haven't. They've only scored 59.
Yeah, no, you gotta give Gibson that. But can we also still giggle that Vancouver, despite the plummet down to earth, still again hanging around?
Can you believe that?
And that's it. But again, Vancouver, another team bitten by the injury bug. Isn't Besser out right now?
Besser's been on and off. He's supposed to return this week.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. We need to put Gibson up for the Vezina.
Oh, yes. But we're not a Bay Area sports station, so we actually know how to pronounce it. In the Central, like I said, it's tightening up between Nashville and Colorado.
And look at freaking Colorado, God, and Minnesota, too. Remember, this was a division that a lot of people at the beginning of the season said, it's going to be a dogfight between Nashville and Winnipeg for 1 and 2, and the vast majority had St. Louis slotted in as third.
After just missing the playoffs in that final game.
Yeah. And no one was taking Colorado. Nope. So,
but here's another surprise. Buffalo right now is the best team in the NHL at 36 points. The Buffalo Sabres
are
the best team in the NHL. 36 points. Tampa's at 35. Toronto at 34. What a division that is.
What did you say about Buffalo?
They are the best team in the NHL right now.
Oh, good for you.
And then there's Metro. The rebuilding Rangers at 28 points in the third position. The Carolina Hurricanes at 1 point out of a playoff spot. And then, of course, Pittsburgh is 3 points back at 25. New Jersey, who everybody thought they're going to be turning it on, started out hot, now slowed down to 22. So you got
Philadelphia throwing GMs out the window. Poor Ron Hextall. That guy is a man among men. But, you know, it just wasn't enough.
Now, speaking of the NHL,
how just completely just unbelievable would it be if Hasso came in and said, you know what? I have no problem with PDB. It's Doug Wilson who I have a problem with.
I can't see.
I'm going to file that under never going to happen in my lifetime.
Right.
But still fun.
Yeah. So speaking of the NHL, of course, we know the NHL All-Star Weekend is coming to San Jose in January. Saw this at the table at the Barracuda game today. Thought I'd get the message out early. They are looking for people. They are looking for All-Star ambassadors to help out. These event hosting guest relation jobs are perfect for the ultimate fan. Hop out of the penalty box, grab a uniform, and get ready to tell your friends about the time you worked at the 2019 NHL All-Star Weekend in San Jose. From the 23rd to the 27th, it will pay $15 per hour. Shifts will range from 5 to 8 hours a day, and they will range from 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. If you're interested, log on to atacusa.com/8NHL. Yes, I know.
Okay, you'll have to forgive Putt Guy. He's never worked for this company. Log on to adecousa.com.
You know what? You know what happens? You know what? You know what, AJ? I'm trying to read this backwards on the screen.
It doesn't even matter, dude. Atacusa, holy crap. Oh,
or call. You're welcome. I'm glad I can make you laugh. Or you can call 408-556-4924.
Okay, so... let me take your ticket now. So Adecco is a temp agency. The reason why I know that is because I contracted with them for about 3 years, sometime in the early 2Ks. But oh my God. Okay. Whose life alert bracelet is good. For some reason, the ticket scan noise is driving people crazy. I'm gonna load a doorbell scanner on here next time.
No, you be good. Oh, okay. We want to keep subscribers.
So this one, not a problem. This one, big issue. Okay, oh, no problem. Oh, somebody's life alert is going off. Anyway, hold on. I thought Atacusa would warrant contribution to the swear jar. Atacusa. Dude, I still have friends that are contracted through Adecco. I cannot wait to tell them this story. Oh, I am just saying.
Yeah, what he said.
That
and one and once again,
Rocket is changing her handle to Atacusa.
You all. My first gaffe in what, 3 years? Okay.
Whatever. 3 years?
Yes, yeah, 3 years.
Sorry, three games.
Whatever. We don't count naming names in the wraparound for that. So
Laurel is evidently going to kick my ass on March 9th. Hey, this one's for you, Laurel.
Oh God!
Is that better?
Oh boy! Something tells me we should never have given him the sound effects thingy.
No, it's all good. Laurel, this one's for you. You wrote all about it on Twitter. Lord knows you did, and it couldn't have been easy to come up with those rhymes. So I'm going to give these all to Laurel. This is for Laurel.
So say knock, knock, let Jones in. He'll save everything you throw at him. And let, you know.
I can picture Laurel right now doing her own rhymes, baby.
Where's Brody with the dice for when you need it?
Brody! Brazil!
Exactly. You can keep it going while I do this. So in case you missed anything or you want to watch this again, just so you can hear me say Adecco wrong, you can always check us out at tealtownusa.com. Or on your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and of course, always subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we want to thank the nearly 1,082 of you who have subscribed so far. We appreciate your love and passion for the Sharks as much as we do. So thank you so much.
And you know what? I'd like to take this time and thank the two douchebags who gave us a thumbs down. I bet I know who both of your names are. Just saying. I bet we probably refer to both of you as a banana emoji, is what I'm saying. But good for you, you know, if you felt the need to vote us down as we're doing a fan for the fans, by the fans thing. It's all good, man.
That's all good. We'll take the love and it just makes us work better.
That's right.
and one more thing I will say.
You don't get any more. No, okay, go ahead.
Shout out to Michael Hahn. We'll talk to him on the elevator on the way down after the game. Big shout out to you. Thank you for watching. You were in the chat earlier. Definitely want to give you some love as well.
So with that, we're going to wrap this one up. We will see you tomorrow. Game 1601 for a Mr. Patrick Marleau on Toronto Maple Leafs ice. Now, for those of you who are unaware, we do a weekly show here, Pucknologist. I announced it there, but I'm going to announce it here as well. We're doing a giveaway this week. And the way you can win this giveaway is go to the Teal Town USA page. Leave us a review. Now, I don't care if it's negative. I'm not one of those guys. I will take constructive criticism like anyone, but don't lie. That's my whole thing. It's like if you sit there and go, well, Hockey Jerk has a terrible accent. Well, that would be a lie because Hockey Jerk doesn't have an accent, which I said on the Pucknologist. So I'm going to be checking iTunes at the end of this week, and I'm going to look on there, and I'm going to take all the reviews that we got on iTunes this week, put them in a hat. Somebody's winning something. I'm not sure what it is yet. It could be the Shark's Head figurine. It could be a limited Sharks t-shirt. It could be a pair of Sharks sunglasses. It could be all three if I'm in the giving mood. And if I have another one of these, I may be right there. So do us a favor. Hop on iTunes. Go leave us a review. Again, I don't care if you give us constructive criticism. If you're a douche and say, you know, oh, these guys just suck and blah, blah, blah. That's not constructive criticism. That's just being a tool. That's being a troll. But if you go on there, either give us constructive criticism or you're just honest and say, hey, love this show. Always have a good time watching. It always entertains me. Something like that. That's fine too, because I feel like that is completely honest. If you leave a review that says, they talk hockey, but the cat that is in the background is the most entertaining portion, I'm fine with that too. Kayla, I will allow her to pick the prize if you're the name that wins. I'm just saying. I will put her in a box with like four different prizes. Whichever one she sniffs first, boom, it's yours. Cat hair will be included.
Cat hair? Well, I hope they're not allergic to it. Let's not try to get
that's that falls under NMP, my friend. Not gotcha. My problem.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, where can the people find you, Mr. Strong?
Why, you can find me on the social media channels. I am at AJ underscore Strong on both Instagram and Twitter. I am also occasionally doing some Instagram things under the handle at TealTownUSA.com.
Very nice. AJ, along with being at the Improv, he'll also be at Local 101 on a karaoke night.
It's Local 102, but okay. Actually, you know what? I got to look it up. Give me a second here. It's funny you should bring that up because I found out that I had to cover for somebody next month. So December 4th. Okay, here you go. Ladies and gentlemen, now taking the stage. On December 14th at Local 102 in Sunnyvale, you can come down and be blessed with the musical stylings of AJ on the Wheels of Steel, formerly the Peacock Lounge, as Richard DeVallos has so beautifully detailed.
Gotcha. Final thoughts for me. Austin Matthews, excuse me, San Ramon native Austin Matthews was skating in a okay to contact jersey. Don't be surprised if he starts tomorrow. I am at PuckGuy14 on Twitter and the Instagram. I help out with this wonderful show, Teal Town After Dark, along with getting the site up with TealTownUSA.com. We'll be back with you tomorrow night following Sharks and Maple Leafs, hopefully talking about a San Jose win. If not, I'm sure the chat and you and the 32 that's in here still are going to be even more angrier and angrier. But hang in there, Sharks fans. If we can get through a 71 loss season, we can get through this. And until tomorrow night, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. Have a good night, everyone.